In Parshas Tzav, we're going to see the first piece is Rabbeinu Bechaya, and he speaks about the pasuk that it says, "The kohen shall put on midobad u'mechasei bad." It puts on the big day kahuna, the heirim as a deshen, and then he takes out the deshen, the ashes from the mizbeach. Now, the way the pasuk is phrased, it starts with him putting on his begadim, which is technically obviously the case. It's at night and he's waking up and he's putting on his begadim. But the pasuk seems to make that a very big deal. We could have had it at the end. We could have some sort of limud that you need begadim bigdei kahuna. But the pasuk seems to make it a very central point, and that's sort of what Rabbeinu Bechaya is going to explain. V'yesh lefarsh od mado begadav. The word madav meaning begodim. By the way, in modern Hebrew, madim is a uniform. V'chein al pimidosov. V'imkein yichlo l'chol b'dei kahuna. He has to put on all b'dei kahuna. And v'zeh shetirgim unkelish levushin. Unkelish explained it means the begodim. Now, what's the point of it? What's the pasuk teaching me? V'lamadu mizeh. Ki gam b'mitzvah trumas hadeshen she'avodah kala. Siva Kodesh Baruch Hu she'is hadava kol lefanov she'yilvash bigdei kahuna b'miras hadeshen. Bigdei kahuna are, the pasuk describes them as lechavod al sefaras. They're the pride of the kohen. They are, it's what makes the kohen regal. It's presenting himself in his quote unquote Sunday best. The Pasuk tells me, when you go to take out the ash from the off the mizbeach, which is really a very, very low type of job, Akash Baruch Hu says you have to wear your best, and which is a sign of how honored you are, how proud you are, and so on. V'chol ze ha'ara v'derechayim l'chol mishem iskav Akash Baruch Hu v'achna vodos. It's an important point. Anyone that is being osek navodas Hashem, or mishem is asik vavzas el Torah, either he is coming close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu in a general way, or he's doing one of the mitzvahs. She is hada lefon of Yisborach basoso arznas Hashem. He should be proud of it and should present himself with pride. She yashbul kvod atzav Hashem Yisborach afilu b'avodakala shebehem. You shall sublimate your own kavod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod, even something very menial and this sort of very simple task. Now let's talk a little bit about this. Imagine every person has a certain sense of dignity, which has sort of a let's call it a floor, a ceiling, and a floor. Beneath which is beneath his dignity. So let's say you walk into a corporation. The CEO walks in, and he turns to the president or the executive vice president, and he taps on the shoulder and says, "Could you give me a cup of coffee, maybe?" Now the person would normally be insulted, and would say, "Excuse me, there are gophers for that, there are interns for that," and more politically correct, they would say there is the food service personnel in charge of that. But it would be an affront to his dignity, because basically it was sort of semi-equal, and I've got a certain bottom and I don't go underneath that, and therefore I wouldn't, for me to serve coffee would be very degrading. Let's say somebody that is universally recognized, let's say the president asks you, "Could you get me a cup of coffee?" You would run and you would feel very honored, because being that his kavod is so much more chasher than your kavod, doing something for him is an honor for you. If you don't feel that way, it would be an insult. So a lot of times the sense of dignity is it's sort of a ratio between the kavod of that person and the kavod of yourself. And therefore, Sometimes you have to do something manual, but you wouldn't be proud of it. Let's say you're in a hospital and you're visiting somebody who's not well, and the person throws up whatever it is, don't mess around. You'll wash off the person, but you're going to feel degraded. You just have to do it because it's a chesed. But you're not going to feel proud of it. And therefore, the Torah says, a person's kavod is very important. But when it comes to doing avodas Hashem, it's not only right that you lower yourself totally, that your kavod doesn't exist in the presence of Hashem, but you should be proud of it. So, cleaning the ashes off the mizbeach, cleaning out chimneys is the lowest job. That's chimneys, and a chimney sweep is the bottom of the rung. Cleaning out a Kodesh Baruch Hu's mizbeach is the top rung. I should put on my Shabbos clothes for the schus of cleaning out the mizbeach. L'chein David al Hashem Amar Ura Kvodi Ura Nevel Chino Ir Shacha Ura Kvodi Ein Kvodcha Chosef Klumet Kvod Koni. And then he brings the pasuk from Shmuel, the Pasha in Shmuel. It says in Shmuel, when they brought back the Sefer Torah, everybody was dancing and was joyful, and David HaMelech was dancing. It says a mecharke b'chol ozef ne'Hashem. He was dancing away with all his strength lifnei Hashem. Now we have to understand something. It's something, I guess, as Americans, we're not sensitive. The act of dancing wildly, crazy, meshuggah, is a lightness. In other words, it's sort of a court jester type of thing. When a person dances in front of a chasan kala, what you're saying in a certain sense is, I'm the court jester to you. It's the position of chasan and kala as melech and malka, and you're kind of dancing in front of them. So what you're doing is you're making yourself light in front of them, and that is a certain kavod. Now, David HaMelech was dancing like, with completely carefree, no sense of self. His wife, who was a princess, Jewish princess, she was Michal Scholl's daughter, and was very, very annoyed. I mean, she was used to a home of royalty, and she knew what dignity was and Malchus was. And when he came in, she remarked very dryly, it must be a very important day, David, that you were dancing like one of the servants. You were like the Batchan. I said, it must be a very special day. And David turned around and told her that I was a shepherd stuck someplace behind the fence, kind of, and Kodesh Baruch took me out from there and gave me everything I have, and I'm going to pull rank on him. I will even if I were to make myself more lighter, he brings the pasuk, I still would not feel that, I would feel still humbler. In other words, dignity is important because every person has a chesivus, but dignity, le'umas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, what is one, where does one come to the other? So the Rebbe Rechai is saying that in the one sense, a person, as important as a person's own kavod is, but when a person needs to lose his kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake, that's a test of the person. Is the kavod, did the kavod go to his head? Does he understand where it comes from or not? I want to tell a story. It's a family story, actually. My father's grandfather's maternal grandfather was a very big tzaddik. His name was Herzog Kunis, and he was a very, very big tzaddik, very interesting person. And I obviously didn't know him. I didn't know my grandparents either. And he was considered to be a very respected person. I think he had respectful businesses. He was a very big tzaddik, a very popular person. He was traveling in a town somewhere, and a woman came crying to him that she's a widow. She has 7 or 8 daughters to marry off. She's poor as a church mouse. The kids, for whatever reasons, are not the easiest to marry off. and what she's doing with herself and the life's with us when she can't do anything. So my great-grandfather told her, pick the one that's hardest to marry off, and I'm taking her as a kala for my son. So she was very happy. He came back home, told his son, and his son had a fit, to put it mildly, but he was very, very big takif, and he said, you know, I don't have a problem if you get divorced, but you're going to get married to her. You may get divorced, but I gave my word, and that's going to be. I'm not commenting on that situation, that part of it. But that chelik is fascinating, but I'm not going to comment on that. At any rate, they did get married. They actually lived very happily. They moved to London for business. They did very well. They became wealthy. We're actually still trying to look for them. I think my brother has tracked down some remnants of a family, but they lived in London and they were very happy, very well to do, and so they would occasionally come to visit in Lithuania, and she would refuse to come to Slabodka to visit my great-grandfather because, Slabodka is a little muddy town and she'll get her dainty feet muddied up, and if you want, you can come to the big hotel in Covent and see her, but she just can't stand the living standard in Slabodka, and therefore she didn't come visit him. And you ask yourself, I mean, this queen of England that is coming, why didn't she ask herself? I mean, she came from a place that was filthier and dirtier and more primitive than Slabodka, and had this man not taken her out of it, she'd still be there. And never occurred to her, or maybe it did occur to her, you know, and maybe there were other reasons, maybe she was embarrassed or whatever it is to remember the past, but a person sometimes doesn't understand where he came from. And the test lies, you know, like, whose dignity comes first. And he says in Avodas Hashem, nothing should be too menial or degrading for a person to do. I want to go off on one more point on this. If people talk about Reb Aaron Kotler, that he was a great man who established Torah in America, which is obviously irrefutable. And there's wonderful stories about him. But there are many stories that are not told. And the stories is that his experience in America from when he came to when he died was 90% humiliation. The amount of doors that were slammed in his face, the amount of times he spent in waiting rooms of wealthy people who never let him in the chlal, had him sit there for 2 hours and then said, too busy to see you. The amount of people that told him to his face, we don't want you or anybody like you in America. They called it cutlerism. He was too frum. They didn't want people sitting and learning. He was a very undiplomatic person. He told the truth with a bluntness and a ferocity that was pretty difficult. And he spent, and it's because he cared for nothing but establishing Torah. I mean, what do you mean my dignity? The great Reb Aaron Kotler was going to be humiliated. The great Reb Aaron Kotler is there until it's time to establish Torah. When it's time to establish Torah, there's no dignity of Reb Aaron Kotler. When the Kaloisa Eid Mizois, I have one obligation, and that's to establish Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the height of dignity to be insulted on behalf of Ribbono Shel Olam. One more anecdote, and we'll take care of the anecdotes. I was privy to a meeting of Adam Gadol with somebody else. The Adam Gadol was establishing a yeshiva in a certain place. It was going to be a place, you know, it was going to be a chashuva job. Somebody mentioned a certain candidate who seemed to be capable for many reasons. And the Adam Gadol nixed it. And when he persisted and said, he's got this mile, this mile, this mile, he said, yes, agreed. But he doesn't have the mile of achna. And he didn't mean to himself, sort of. Well, he meant he's a person that his own dignity will never be sacrificed on the altar of Avodas Torah. So if something is beneath his dignity, it's not going to be done. He said, you can't build Torah that way. You have to be able to roll up your sleeves, to go through mud, and with one goal in mind, and that is to establish Torah. Okay. Then he says, Ibn Rechaya says, "Biyadua medera chachmas egoyin ki adam in a nikra eved atshielo adam." Logic, it's a tautology that you can't be a servant unless you have a master. Ve'ein sheim ha'adam roy alamizesh le'eved, and you can't be a master unless you have a servant. These two names cannot exist one without the other. They are the exact mirror images, and one has to be with the other. You can't have a right hand unless you have a left hand, you know, and it's in potential. The kibush adam eved la kadosh baruch hu, then it's chayev lavod also. If a person is an eved, he efsa shetia avodah shleima achikabla eved olav kamidas ha'abdus. It cannot be called avoda unless he sees himself as an eved. And the main point of an eved, himachno v'shiflus v'funav. It means between the eved to the adon, the eved is dignityless. He is completely without a sense of self, and he's completely bottled to the master. Lo shis nagi v'funav midas adus esrara. He can't walk around kind of with a certain sense of self, of arrogance. Ki mevazek v'funav adonov. That is a bizayin to the kavod Adonov. And then it brings psukim of the Sadafei Melech and so on. Umipnei zeh, the Rebbe Rechai says, HaKohen ha'ovid ha'miuchad l'avodas ha'migdash, the Kohen that worked in the Beis HaMikdash, Sivol ha'kosei shor ha'shash chol yom, they were told every day to clean out the deshin. She'avod ha'kalash ha'avodas, it's the lowest job. The person has to start off that, but a Kohen is grand, he's kashuv, everybody brings their carbon and they come trembling, and the Kohen is representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shluchu Rachmana. The first thing he has to start is, yes, if you can take out the garbage in the morning, then you're Shluchu Rachmana. And the Gamma bring Amil Gorachacham. So he says, Hillel, when he dances as soon as they say, but now the dancing, and again, it's something that we're less than sensitive because Americans don't have a sense of dignity and so on. But dancing the way a child dances I still remember my father, Chanevracha, who was Lithuanian, did have a sense of dignity, would remark sometimes when he'd see a grown up running, he'd say, a leif to be a kind. He runs like a child. So the great Rebbe Gamliel and Dor HaChom would be dancing away with juggling stuff. Was very, and Hillel was miraculous. When Hillel was miraculous, he could say Mani Kana Kolkan. And also Rebbe Gamliel, there would be no Ibats and Kalos Rosh the Kvod Shemayim. It's a certain enhancement of Kvod Shemayim if their own dignity has been lowered. And he brings one more proof to this. Koyadata Shaktoishim Reisol of Nelevi. Shevet Levi was the chashvster. Umino isen akosuv, shelchach hagolus. The pasuk gave their job would be to follow the wagons. They were the kid that follows. If you ever see the pictures of wagons and stuff, there's always a kid behind walking, and you sort of making sure nothing falls off. Shumino kalitz of another. It's a very, very low job. Who shakosuv yikach moishes hagolus and abokinas and levim, estay hagolus and abokinas and gershem, and so on and so forth. Nimtza. You learn from this that a person should be mimayit his own kavod for Rosh Hashanah. In the last paragraph, Rabbein Lechaya, while inyan zeh matzinu shenenas yisocha ishvar bar koi shemechal kach shemayim chaber atzmo. It says that yisocher was the yisocher ishvar bar koi was a kohen gadol, and it said he would be mechal kach shemayim chaber atzmo. The Gemara says the following story over there, that he was a kohen gadol, he was pedant and very, very noble and aristocratic, and it was to put his hands into the blood and into the chalavim, and you know, it's somebody who's of good breeding and dignified bearing doesn't do these things. So what did he do? He put on silk gloves so that he would not be contaminated with the gook and the junk. And it says it got a terrible einish, but it says the Azara would shout out, "Seimikan Yisrael Yisrael Bakai, go out! She mechabed atzmo. He is being mechabed himself and by the same dint mechalkat shemayim, be mechalkat shemayim. Ma'avavid karach yada b'shiroi b'avid avayda. So when a person has a sense of his own kavod and self, when it comes to kavod shemayim, that is something that is chil Hashem. It's everyone in his own thing. Sometimes you have to do something by goyim, where you feel kind of it's less than dignified that you're doing X or Y or Z, self-esteem and honor are positive things, but a person always needs to say to himself, as opposed to what? If it's in the service of quote Shemayim dehumiliation, or whether it's raising money for something that's important and people are interested, or whatever it is, or doing a job that might be considered quote unquote manual, teaching somebody to Eino Fichvodo, all of those things, each and every person has his own asonos with it. Understand that the Avodas Hashem starts in the morning with the first thing is to make it very clear that you're an Eved, that Klap of Hashem, you have no self. Then a person can, and a person will be the Kuna, a person will be proud of it. Then a person can be a Kohen and Ovid Hashem. Next one is a Sefer HaChinuch. And it says, Eish Tamid Tukal Mizbeach Lishichbe, and he speaks about the mitzvah, that there's a chiv to make sure there's fire there, even though there is, anyway, fire coming from a Shemayim. Lehava eish amizbeach b'chol yom tamid shenema eish tamid tukar amizbeach. Uba pirush of tamid, the word tamid means claiming lehasim by eitzim abaykman abayim. You always have to pile on wood. Uba beer amruzal, Chazal explained, afal pisha eish yered men shemayim mitzvah lavi min ahedyet. Even though the fire comes in a shemayim, there's a mitzvah lavi min ahedyet. What's the reason? What's the tamia mitzvah? Mishrasha mitzvah the chinuch says. Hakdama. Yadua adava beinena beitzakol chachamim ki nisim gdoilu mashasa keil al bnei adam betuva gadol la'olam yasa de'achseisa. We have a mesoris that any big nisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for people, he will do them in a hidden way. V'nirim ha'inyanim nasim k'tzas ki lahim b'darka teva mamish or b'karav l'teva. And they look as if they are natural or very close to being natural. Kigam b'neskiras yamsuf, even in neskiras yamsuf, shehoisa nes mefursam, kosov shom vayolach Hashem es hayam beruach kodim azu kol alayla, vayosu zon chavi ruach hamayim. Even kiras yamsuf had a wind blowing. V'maskilim yavinu ke'inyan seisa zeh, that this hidden thing is l'maylos ha'odon v'shifus ha'mekabel. It is for the it is something that describes the mayla of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the shifus ha'mekabel. Let's explain this point over here. He says, he gives sort of a reason, and he sort of hides the reason. He says, it is Mailos Ha'odin and Shifus HaMekabel. The Shifus HaMekabel is the easy one to understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Noheg with us in a way that's commensurate to our Metzius. It says, Hashem Tzilcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts towards us as we act towards Him. If we're on a madrega of pure Al-Teva, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts completely Al-Teva. We're not like that. We are very aware of Teva and the Mahalchi Teva, so that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts towards us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yachas to us is that we don't deserve, that we're not shayach to a world that is completely above Teva, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to act through Teva. But he adds another piece to the chinuch. He says, L'maylas ha'odin. And let's talk about this point as well. Of the reasons given for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create a world, and creating in a sense means everything you know about the world, one of the reasons given by the Kabbalah actually is that it is the greatest it's the greatest gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's megala ein seif through seif. In other words, if a person is a dictator, let's say, and there's no opposition, and you know, and everybody, there's, you have a huge phalanx of secret police, and they and a very, very tough police, and you you force everybody to do as you want. So that's one level of control and domination. Let's say somebody is an extraordinarily shrewd politician, and he allows for the mechanism of democracy to exist, but he still gets his way all the way through. That's an incredibly more difficult and more brilliant, certainly, display of a person's koach. It's one thing when you quash democracy and you kind of dominate everything, so that's strength. But if I allow the democracy game to go on and I'm able to navigate things my way, that's a much more incredible display of control. If I can control something that has quote-unquote free will, I'm a much stronger person than if I can only control things that have no free will. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gilui of Ein Sof, when it comes through a world of Sof, is much, much greater than when it's just Ein Sof. You know, sometimes in a number system, in math, you have infinite, you have formulas that go on infinitely and don't have any point to resolve, but the formula keeps going, whether it's pi or similar. And you're always kind of struck, I guess, in a philosophical sense, like, theoretically, the number system should be finite, because there's only a finite amount of things, and yet there's a formula here that's infinite, that doesn't find any end within the system. It's kind of strange mixture. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megala, the world of above Teva and within Teva. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would just be giving man to tzaddikim and atar yishayim, that would be one gili, and you know, it's a certain gili of strength. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, seemingly the world operates on sound, self-contained economic principles, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that the toiv, that somehow toiv should be economically viable and grow and flower and blossom, it's a much, somebody looks around Minat Yisrael and say, it's strange that a poor country with limited resources, tens of thousands of people that are sitting and learning, and somehow there's money coming. Yes, the money comes from America. Yes, somehow people with limited amount of education made tremendous amount of money, and they're giving it for these causes. And people who may not be ideologically affiliated with these causes still feel it's worth supporting and undo other things. But at the end of the day, something is growing and flowering in a way that's kind of not so explainable. So the mizug of Teva and Al-Teva is the godless, the milus ha'odin. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it. So it's a lesson both ways, really. The appropriate hanhaga for all of us is within the framework of Teva, except for the extraordinary person who is not a shivas on a kavul, but he lives kind of in a different world of bitachon. For most people, the mahalach is Teva, and a person has the need, the obligation to keep making his shtadlus tivius. But there's a definitely a hakara that no matter how much he does, but somewhere it's coming from someplace else. Many people have tried businesses, many people have made businesses. Especially in business, it's astounding. When a person is successful in business, people say, oh, what a brilliant move, awesome, this and that. You know, 5 years down the road, he crashes, and then it's mafreyas gala that it wasn't, you know, true, there's a derech teva, a certain amount of smarts, a certain amount of this and that, but it's not something that runs on very fixed principles. That person should always understand, I did all the derech teva things I was supposed to do, but in business especially, that doesn't predict any type of necessary atzlacha. So there's a chiyuv. The things in this world go basically with the structure is teva, and al teva is something that can come through the teva. A person needs to have a good army, but at the end of the day, even if he has a good army, it's no guarantee to win a war. Many good armies have lost wars, and there's always there's an element. A person, as much as a person needs the ishtadlus in the world of teva, a person needs to understand that it's a camouflage for a world of mal teva. Being a tzarev Pesach, I think we're going to make it a bit shorter than normal, and chag kasher sameach.